what is the root to which the axe has to be laid? If I identify that and you allow the Lord, say, Lord, hit that root in my heart. I took a long time after being born again. I'd say more than 15, 16 years as a born again Christian before I discovered where the root of sin was. Because I never heard anybody preach about it. People were preaching about external sins. Don't do this and don't do the other thing and don't do the other thing. And I had my scissors ready to cut off anything that I heard was bad. That's a bad testimony for a Christian. This is a bad testimony for a Christian. I had my scissors ready to cut it all off. And this is how most Christians are living. And yet the root is never hit. And Jesus came to hit the root. All the conflict in families, all the discord that comes between husband and wife, all the divorces in the world, and all the conflict between believers is always because of this root not being hit. Sometimes in both people or sometimes in one of them. And even if the other person, if you have a conflict with somebody in your home, with your children or with your wife or husband, instead of concentrating on where the fault is in the other person, ask yourself one question. Is there a root, something in my heart that the Lord wants to lay an axe to? Open yourself up to that possibility and say, Lord, lay the axe to the root. I want to eliminate that which made the highest archangel into a devil in a moment. It didn't take him 10 years to be the devil. One moment, he was the anointed archangel, the highest of all the angels. The next moment, he was the devil. It doesn't take long for an archangel to become a devil. Why can't that happen today? For a godly man suddenly to become so evil. And what is the cause? He didn't commit adultery. He didn't steal anybody's money. He just got puffed up with what? Verse 17. His spiritual attractiveness. At least he thought he was attractive, that everybody thought he was a wonderful saint because he had built up such a reputation in the church. And his inner idea of his own wisdom, how he feels he knows more than anybody else. That can happen to any of us. And it's a wonderful thing if God can give us light on this. That's why you have often heard me say the three secrets of the Christian life are humility, humility, humility. And where do I get that from? I get it from Philippians 2. If pride was the root of all sin, it has to be the opposite of that that is the root of all salvation. Definitely. And that's why salvation came through the humility of Christ. Just like sin came through the pride of the archangel. Pride is that which elevates a person. Humility is that which brings a person down. The archangel exalted himself. I mean, he got so crazy he thought he could go above God himself. That's how stupid pride can be. And now you see how salvation came. You see how sin came. And the opposite of Ezekiel 28 is in Philippians 2. Philippians 2, it says in verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Empty conceit is the root of sin in the heart. A conceit in the heart that makes me think I'm better than everybody else. But with humility of mind, look at this exhortation. I don't know how many of you really have taken this seriously. With humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Take that one statement and meditate on it for this week. Regard others as more important than yourself. Now, don't misunderstand it. Not more spiritual than yourself. That's impossible. If somebody is not more spiritual, how can you fool yourself and believe he is? But it says here, regard others as more important. And then it says, have the same attitude, verse 5, that Jesus had. Jesus did not go around thinking everybody is more spiritual than me. That's a foolish idea that some people say. Yeah, consider the other person as more spiritual than you. Rubbish. That's not what Jesus did. Paul did not consider all the Corinthians as more spiritual than himself. He said, you're a carnal. So this is a false humility where you go around pretending that you think other people are more spiritual than you, and when you know they're not. I don't believe others are more spiritual than me if they're not. But because Jesus never did that. We don't follow Jesus there. But Jesus did consider everybody as more important than himself. That's why when the bucket of water was there at the Last Supper, which a slave was supposed to take and wash people's feet, and none of the disciples did it, Jesus said, well, I'm the least important person here, I'll do it. There's a difference between knowing you're the least important and pretending to be the least spiritual. No, or pretending to be humble, pretending that others are more spiritual, that's all garbage. Consider others as more important than yourself. Treat others. If you believe that someone is more important than yourself, you will always treat him with respect. For example, how would you treat a dignitary, a state dignitary, like a governor, if he came to your house? That's the way I examine myself. I mean, I've been down to the poorest villages in India, extremely uneducated people who are very, very, very simple and very poor. And the Lord told me, treat these people as dignitaries. Respect them. Consider them as more important than yourself. And that's what I've striven to do in all the 50 years that I've gone to those places. Consider others more important. That is the attitude of Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, as we sit in this church, if you follow that exhortation, consider others not as more spiritual. You know they are not. You know some people sitting here are very carnal. But more important than yourself. Respect them as more important, like a dignitary. Don't treat them lightly. Recognize yourself as least important, even if you're the most spiritual. I believe the most spiritual person here will definitely think of himself as the least important. The two go together. And here is the three steps of humility I mentioned. Now this is the opposite of the highest archangel. If sin had to come through an archangel trying to exalt himself, salvation had to come by the opposite of that, by somebody humbling himself. So we see Jesus, you see the three steps of humility there, because it says here in verse 5, have the same attitude in yourself which is in Jesus Christ. And what is that? Number 1, though he was God, verse 6, he did not hang on to that, but emptied himself of all that sense of importance and being what he was. And, you know, there's a lot of it in us. We may think we are very humble, but we got a lot of thing in our head which makes us feel we are pretty important. And it's only an act of humility very often in our language. But it says he humbled himself and came right down to become a man. First step of humility. Second, as a man, he could have walked around as a king, but no. He took the place of a slave. A bondservant, it says, verse 7, which is a slave. God becoming man itself is a big thing. But then as a man, he became a slave, the lowest level of the human race. Slaves, which is lower than even servants. And you'd think he'd reach the bottom. No. He one step further, he went down to being thought of as a criminal. Those are the three steps of humility. God becoming man becoming like a bondslave, and a bondslave going even down and being considered as a criminal on the cross. And it says here, that's why I say three steps of humility, humility, humility. That's the secret to the Christian life. And it says here, you must have the same attitude. And this is not something that, you know, we want other people to recognize. It's not that you go around getting a reputation now for being, for humble, for humility. That's a lot of garbage. But you recognize in yourself what you are and seek to follow Jesus inwardly, that's the only way, I want to say to you, dear brothers and sisters, that the devil will have no power over you. The devil has power over anybody who's got even an atom of pride in him. If there's conflict in your home, it's because the devil has brought pride in somebody there. And you cannot overcome pride with more pride. You cannot overcome somebody's arguing by arguing against that person, husband or wife. The only way you can overcome is the way Jesus overcame. Humility.